1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 to 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 to 9. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In everything enriched by Him is the title of today's Sunday school message, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 4 to 9. The Apostle Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul gives thanks to God for the spiritual growth that he witnesses in the Corinthian church. He attributes it to the grace of God that is supplied by Jesus Christ. Indeed, as a Christian begins to grow, he must abide in Christ. John said this in John 15, verse 1 to 8. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see this during the time of the Exodus. The more Pharaoh persecuted, the more the people of Israel increased. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The branch receives the nourishment from the vine. In order to thrive on its own, the branch loses its usefulness when it's detached from the vine. The Corinthian Christians are commended by the Apostle Paul for bearing spiritual fruit in their lives, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The character of Christ is manifested in their lives. Dear brethren, it is the Father's will that you be fruitful. It is the Father's will that you would obey His word and do His will. That is how we can be fruitful. When we take time to know Him by studying His word. And so He says here in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. the church in Corinth, observes the Apostle Paul, has been endowed with spiritual gifts. These spiritual gifts are to be exercised for the building up of the body of Christ. And God has amply supplied these spiritual gifts so that the church may be engaged in faithful service before the Lord returns. The church in Corinth engages in evangelism, sharing the gospel, witnessing to others, and God has endowed that church with the knowledge of the truth so that they may effectively witness for the Lord. For this, the Apostle Paul gives thanks. He sees the fruit of church planting. He spent 1.5 years confirming the faith of the believers through the faithful preaching and teaching of God's word. It is heartening for him to see spiritual progress in the church. Proverbs 11 verse 18 says, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." He that soweth righteousness, when we would do something good for the Lord, we would do something good for His honor, for His glory. He encourages here the church to press on with the good work. So he says that in everything ye may be enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge. He writes to encourage the church so to sow seeds of kindness, sharing the gospel in season and out of season, faithfully witnessing for him. Today, there are many who do not come to church anymore. Well, that has been the situation in the last 2 years or so. And some out of fear, many out of lethargy, and some have backslided. What happened? Well, we say this, that the church must continue to open and that his people must go and invite and talk to those who are straying, those who have left the fold, left those who have strayed. It is up to the people of God to pray and to be a witness, be an encouragement, be a help. And the Lord here speaks to us so that we may be up about exercising the spiritual gifts that God gives us, that ye may be blameless, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here the Apostle Paul expresses the unfailing grace of God to preserve his people. He says this in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ." God will persevere you. You see, sometimes we wonder how, by all the weaknesses that we have, that we are able to finally make our way to our promised land in heaven. Well, we will do so because we have an eternal high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. And Jesus, in his work at the right hand of the Father praying for you, has no let up. In other words, he is holding you up, and because he's doing so, you will not be lost. He will see to it. And that is the grace of God in the lives of His people. So, being confident, Paul says, of this very thing which he has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Similarly, Jude said in Jude 24-25, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. God endows his people with spiritual gifts. He also enables them to exercise them. God is faithful to his promise that when he saves a sinner, he shall never be lost. And Jesus affirms this in John 10:28-30. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." His grace is sufficient to see you through life's journey, to reach his final destination in heaven. Jesus intercedes for his saints at the right hand of the Father in heaven to ensure that they can never be lost, but continues to grow spiritually, albeit amidst intermittent backslidings. As you think about the people of God, God sends afflictions into our lives so that we can be drawn closer to him. When the Israelites are afflicted, they were very close to God. You see that they were crying out to God. They sought God. Quite different picture from what they will be when they were in the wilderness. You recall, when they are in the wilderness, there was so much murmuring and complaining. But when they were under affliction, how the Lord multiplied them greatly, and how they were calling out to God. God sends us affliction. Affliction comes our way so that we will not sit on our laurels, become complacent. But God allows so that we would realize that there is a battle going on. God did not allow Job to continue prospering. There was a period in his time when God took everything away from him. And it was a very trying time. He lost everything. All his friends despised him. His wife said to him, "Curse God and die." But what did he learn out of the trial? You turn with me to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. And verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now my eye seeth thee. What is the purpose of trials in a believer's life? Well, the purpose of trial is that we may be able to see God in our lives. It is through the trials that God makes Himself real to us. It is through the trials that God makes Himself real to us. So He says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I know God. I know the doctrines of the faith by the reading of the Bible. It's head knowledge. But now I know Him personally. It's experiential knowledge. He has experienced the presence of God in his life during the time of his trial. How did Israel experience God in the time of their trial? God opened the Red Sea. When there was no way for them to move forward, God asked Moses to place his staff onto the ground, onto the sea. And the Red Sea parted, and they could walk on dry ground. Job says, now my eyes seeth thee. That's the purpose of trial. God will draw us closer to Him. We will walk with Him, and we will see His glory. And the Apostle Paul is saying this to the church in Corinth, that we would be willing to trust God and to follow Him and to obey Him and to walk with Him. So that we may be confirmed unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we may be blameless. What is blameless? That there will be no judgment against you. And how can we be blameless? Well, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 22 to 23, when we bear forth the Spirit's fruit, it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, if you bear forth the Spirit's fruit in your life, there is no judgment against you. Nothing can be held against you in the courts of heaven. And so the Lord says to us that we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh, verse 24, with the affections and the lusts. We have crucified our affections and lusts upon the cross. In other words, you have nailed the old self to the cross. That you're not living anymore by your own strength, You are not allowing the flesh to take over you. Verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strifes, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul has the desire that we be blameless. What is it to be blameless? That we would bear forth the Spirit's fruit in our lives. We would bear forth the Spirit's fruit in our lives. And God wants us to bear forth that such fruit comes to our heart, such fruit comes to our lives, and that we may indeed in everything enriched by Him. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit, and grant to us Thy peace and joy this new week as we look to Thee. Help us to stay close to Thee, to do Thy holy will. May Thy Spirit bear its fruit in our lives as we abide in Christ. This I pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.